should be. There were many, many Sundays in my life that I was not in church. I was trying to get out of jail. And man, I'm just thanking the Lord. Look at all the money I've saved. Speak to you about money for a minute. I talked to him last night. I have a little different approach than pastors do. You got to buy into what's going on. And I like the way, I mean, it's nice the way pastors take offerings and stuff, I guess, maybe if I, but I'm just different. Here's what I look at. I'm going to give it to you. Now, visitors, I'm not talking to you, although you're going to hear it. this is Sunday. And let me just say this for me. It usually started on Monday night. I would buy at least 6 old Milwaukees as I smoked a pack per day. Tuesday, I would buy 6 old Milwaukees and I smoked a pack per day. And Wednesdays, I did the same. And Thursdays, I did the same. And then, well, maybe on Thursdays, I went back up. Because now I was in a nightclub, and I was buying their beer. And Friday, I was really, really after it because I didn't have to work. Saturday, I was just hardcore. Sunday, I drank beer to get over the hangover. Amen. And then later, after I get the Holy Ghost, me and my brother find out that by calculations that I was spending about $3,000 a month on marijuana and cocaine and crystal. So when I got the Holy Ghost, guess what I found? Money. I had more money than I was like, where did I get all this money? It's because I wasn't spending it anymore. Amen? And so I realized I have more money because I'm not spending it on drugs and alcohol and smoking and wild women and racing my cars. And so what do I need to do? I need to what? Either find something else to spend it on, or I need to give it to the Lord and help the church have revival. So what I wound up doing, without knowing that you give to be blessed, I didn't know all that part. I didn't know any of the Bible. When I got the Holy Ghost, I just knew very little about the Pentecost religion. I was a preacher's kid, but I left home at 14. And back in those days, they didn't preach much about kids and everything. Didn't have no kids' church. And so now I start putting a big old in the offering. I was like, well, you know, I got these $100 bills that I didn't spend this weekend on the partying. And what do I need? Well, I guess I'll just give it to the preacher. I thought we was giving everything to the preacher. And he was driving a Delta 88 Cadillac. I mean, Delta 88 Oldsmobile, and I thought, well, I'll just give it to the preacher. That sucker needs a new car because I had a better car than he. And so I was just giving it to the preacher, I thought. And one day I told my mama, I said, Mama, do we just need to buy him another car or something like that? I got a lot of money. I can pay the car note. And she said, baby, you ain't giving it to the preacher. You're giving it to the church, and the church is in revival, and that's the way people like you get in. I was getting a little quiet right now because, see, let me tell you this. We can spend it on what they call them, Ducci, Hoochie purses or something like that. What do they call them things? Who? Gucci? Gucci purses. You know what I found out about a Dooney and Burke? I can tell that I don't know who Dooney and Burke is, but they made a lot of money. You know what I found out about a Dooney and Burke purse? It holds the same amount of junk as a Walmart purse. Amen. 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 Look at your neighbor and say amen. And black is black. My wife, one lady told my wife, you need one of these Martin Luther King purses or something like that. Had an MK on it. And I said, why? She goes, well, she needs one. I said, but why? She brought, the lady's real rich, brought her over one as a gift. I went in there and took that Walmart purse, came out, opened up that Martin Luther King purse, poured that junk right in there. I said, look at there. This purse was $600, and this purse was $39.95. Still holds junk. Come on. You got a $1,000 cell phone in your hand. You're going to put a dollar in the offering. Whoa. And then you're going to say, I'm broke. I ain't got no money. It's called Verizon got it. Amen. I've got the first iPhone I ever owned is sitting right over there, and it's free. Free. I walked in there, and they said, we'll give you a free phone if you open the line. I said, I'll open the line. I ain't paying for no phone. That's stupid. You got to think. So I want you to buy in. Here's the deal. If you're going to give to anything, it should be for this, so other people that are hurting and wounded and lost have an opportunity to come into a revival and say, God, help me. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we're not going to be like Benny Hinn and all that stuff. We're not going to blow on you, and we don't buy jets and all that mess. We pay for revival and pay the bills. And y'all would be crazy. You think your bills are high? Look at all y'all going to the bathroom. Look how much water and toilet paper that is in one day. Can you say amen? Y'all don't think about that, do you? Come on. Every time you hit that soap dispenser, that's 3 cents. Boom, 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 12 cents. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, all you that are here visiting. Oh, Lord. I'm going to say something a little different. As you know, I always say something a little different. The pastor said if you don't have a home church, I'm going to rephrase that a little bit and say, I don't care if you do have a home church. If it isn't Pentecostal apostolic like this church, you need to change churches and become what we are. Amen. You need this. Amen. Everybody say amen. I want to address some things this morning. We have, if you're a guest here this morning, raise your hand. If you're a guest, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't see every, my contacts, Claire. 6, 7, 8. Thank you. Those two ladies were here last night. I recognize them. So I want you to know why you're here. Why you're here. We're in revival, and we have prayed for you to come. We prayed that God would send and help people that needed something to come to this church. You have not been named individually, but you have been prayed over collectively. We ask God to run angels out into the community and to quicken people's hearts and therefore bring you into a harvest. So you are not here today by accident, young lady. You're here, and I want you to be very cognizant, aware of what it is. See, you thought an invitation was what it was the master said, I'm going to give you an invitation. I'm going to quicken you. Remember what I preached, church. But you said, I'm going. Now, you have come into a place that can help you. You have come into a place that can deliver you. You have come into a place that can help restore you. You have come into a place that is not just a church, but it is an apostolic outpouring of the latter. Come on, saints, give the Lord some praise right now. Hallelujah. And so I want to thank you for being here, but I want to say that as an ex-drug dealer, an ex-drug user, an ex-convict, lawbreaker. I needed God. And it came to a point where I was like, I'm not doing good by myself. I'm just not doing good. Until you get to that point, you're just going to be in a circle. That's why Billy Joel played a song, Going in Circles, Riding High Like a Flat Diamond in the Sky. He was on coke. And his life was going in circles. Anybody admit that you've just had a circle in your life? It's like you wind up right back at the same spot. I'm going to preach a little bit, but right now I'm just getting everybody aware. I was doing that. It was like, no, I'm free. I ain't doing that drug no more. I ain't doing that. I'm through with them wild, crazy women. They was all snorting coke, and I was giving it to them. They were snorting it, and then I was wondering why I got so many girls around. When I stopped the coke, all the girls disappeared. I just went to another. Amen? I mean, some of y'all ain't never done that, and that's good. I'm glad. That's the reason my nose is all still messed up. But see, I was going in that circle. I'm preaching just a little bit before I preach. And until you are through with the circle, then it doesn't matter what anybody says. You can go to counseling. You can talk. You can say, I ain't never. But until you get fed up with going back in this circle constantly, then you're just going to keep going in a circle of good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good. And the good gets shorter and the bad gets longer. But when you make up your mind, then there's a church like this one that can break the circle through Jesus. Amen. And I think that you're here today not as a mistake or as a just a happenstance. It's that you are destined. Now, I'm preaching to you right now just a little bit. Remember this. Before you were born, guest, God already knew that this day you were going to walk in this church. He knows all things, future and behind. So you can't tell me that it was an accident. God chose this day. He knew that you were going to come in. He knew that you were going to sit down. And He knows what you're going to do with this. So this day is your day. Everybody say, this is my day. Say it with force. This is my day. Amen. Thank you for being here. And thank the Lord for allowing us another day. Amen. I want to preach just for a second. Let me go back in time and bring you to the remembrance of the tragic condition of humanity when Jesus walked on this planet. On one side, there was this pagan conquerors that continually abused the people with taxation, fear, and superiority, the kingdoms and the empires of the world. On the other side was a religious system full of rituals that were supposed to keep a certain bloodline, a certain culture, separated from the pagans. Sandwiched in between these two extreme opposites was a mass of people that were being abused by both systems. They didn't fit into the superiority of the kings, and they didn't fit into the religious rituals. They were the ones that were not of a certain bloodline. And they were being abused. They were broken and hurting and wounded, lame, diseased, poor, helpless, possessed, blind, leprous, maimed. And it appears that the demonic forces, those monstrous evil, sadistic spirits were literally tearing the human race apart with diseases of all sorts, all kinds of sickness, all kinds of plagues, all kinds of mental issues and problems of all sorts. They had been turned loose upon humanity to destroy this creature that had been created in God's image, and there was nothing to stop them. The kingdoms couldn't stop them. The kings couldn't stop them. The religious system couldn't stop it. And so right in the middle, this mass of people were getting torn to pieces, destroyed. Life was chaotic. On one side, let me remind you, the earthly empires were bleeding the people dry by taxation and control. The religious system stood off to the other side with their rituals that kept the masses at arm's length. It was a mess. And in this system, God steps from infinity back in time and puts on a robe of flesh, a robe that was weak, and planted his feet on this earth and states to all the forces and all the religious customs, I have come to preach to the poor, to heal the sick, the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. In other words, that was Jesus' purpose. In other words, I have not come to the kingdoms, and I have not come for the religious sect. I have come for those that in the middle that are all messed up by demonic forces and satanic powers. Oh, yes, Lord. And so God's answers to Satan's plan of destruction was I am going to do this. Look at your neighbor and say, he. See, he started tearing the things up. Come get my coat, buddy. He started tearing things up. If you could have been there, you'd been shocked. Y'all think Jesus is this little nice creature, hangs on the cross, got a loincloth, long hair. Like I told him last night, Jesus didn't even have long hair. That's a Catholic custom. He didn't have long hair. You go, what? Read it. If he had long hair, why did Paul say it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Hello? Hello? Then that means he would put Jesus to shame, right? Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Brother Paul done pulled out a gun. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, I'm coming. And he went everywhere and tore everything up. Let me show you. The religious system said, yeah, lame people, you can stay in the gate, but you can't come in. Blind people, you can't come in. You can't. And the kingdoms were like, well, I just want your money. That's all I want. I ain't got nothing for you, but I just want your money. But all of a sudden, lame people being carried to Jesus, and then instead of being carried away, they became leapers. Look at your neighbor, say leaping. Blind people came staggering to him but went away amazed at what they saw. Leprous people that had limbs rotting off their body had their body parts restored, what's the Bible said, to the original condition. Are you hearing me? In other words, a nub finger became whole. A nose became whole. I'm talking about Jesus was messing things up. A leper that couldn't approach anybody is suddenly walking up to everybody saying, I did not go to a religious culture. I went to Jesus, and Jesus made me whole. Oh, praise your name. And so for 3.5 years, the earth became a nightmare for the empires of this earth. They just couldn't stop him. They tried. We've got Bible proof that they tried, but they couldn't do it. And for 3.5 years, this earth became a nightmare for those religious, pious people. They couldn't stop Jesus, but they tried. They tried because they did. They were losing members. Uh-oh. Let me say that again. The religious group was losing members. Members meant money. Hello? Now they're not. See, if Jesus just come in and said, hey, I want to start a church, they would have said, fine, play by these rules. But he didn't do that. He come in and said, I'm going to start my church. My rules. Watch out. He said, I'm going to take all y'all's people because I'm going to do things that y'all can't do. And I'm going to do it for the people that you will not recognize that have their issues. I'm going to do it for the worst of the worst. Somebody give God a little praise right here. I'm trying to be good this morning. And so for 3.5 years, the earth became a nightmare for Satan and all of his fallen angels and his demons and those dark spirits that had crucified this mass that in the middle, they just couldn't stop him. Remember that old guy that had all them demons and that devil tried to scare Jesus and said, we are many. Jesus was like, okay. Glad to get you all in one person. That way I can just do 6,000 of you at the same time. I've been doing one at a time. I've been looking for a bunch. And Jesus is just, boom, out, bye, see ya. In other words, 6,000, listen to that. 6,000 demons left one man. People go, well, I don't think that you can have more than one problem, more than one demon. Well, you just ain't read the Bible, have you? There were 6,000 co-inhabitants rooming together. I call them roommate with their intentions. Rooming in one man, and got them a batch of them. And Jesus said, boom, out. Ah! That's what them demons like, oh, no, please don't make me go. He said, bye, see you. And the Pharisees were looking to him like, how'd he do that? So now Satan has problems with Jesus. And so now when Jesus was crucified, I'm sure that Satan was breathing a sigh of relief. He was like, woo-hoo. Oh, I got him. Mess with me. I had my religious group. They were good at rituals, but bad at spirituals. Oh, Lord, help me preach. They knew how to throw the blood on the wall, but they didn't have nothing to support what they... They talked a game, but couldn't show... They said, well, right, but they just ain't... Uh-uh. And the devil's going, I had them on both sides, beating up these people in the middle, but I got him. I'm sure the kingdoms of the earth were breathing a sigh of relief. It's like, well, we don't have to deal with that anymore. And the religious system was relieved because they were just sure things were going to get back to normal. But when Jesus left this earth, he left a present that none of these forces could ever have been prepared for. Jesus writes his words read in the book. Neither I pray for these alone, meaning the 12, but for them also which shall believe on me, watch this one, through their words. Whose words? These disciples. So it's, let me repeat it because this is where we're going. I'm praying, but I'm not praying just for these. I'm praying for these, And I'm praying for those that believe on me through what they say. Look at your neighbor and say, amen. In other words, Jesus already knew. And he said, that they may be one with me, Father, as I am with thee. And the glory, everybody say the glory, that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In other words, a flesh with the Spirit of God living in him. Y'all ain't got it yet. In other words, it was a prophecy. I am going to be one with him as I am with you. In other words, this flesh that's tempted and tried is going to be one with them. They'll be one with me as I am with thee. I'm going to be that sacrifice that allows them to operate just like I operate. And everybody that believes on me through them, I'm going to give them glory. I'm going to give them power. I'm going to give them an anointing. I'm going to give them freedom. I'm going to let them be. Somebody say amen. So the world was stunned when on the day of Pentecost there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled, the Bible said, all the house where they were sitting. And it appeared unto them like cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, you didn't get taught. You didn't get somebody to say these words as the Spirit give them utterance. So the people in the upper room, the Spirit set upon them, and they begin to speak in the Spirit, the tongue of the Spirit. That was when the church of the living God was born. But the question was, will this group of people that had been prophesied about be the same and be able to do what he did? That's the question. Are they satisfied just to say, I'm of a different religion? Or can they do something? See, Jesus had already given them spiritual power of attorney. Let me say it again. Spiritual power of attorney. In other words, this is my will and testament. I'm going to give this to you, but what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to keep it and talk about it? Or are you going to use it? Because I don't need you to talk about it. I don't need you to be blasting about it. I need you to keep it protected, and I need you to use what I gave you, because greater works shall ye do than I did. Look at somebody, say amen. So the church had the power. Everybody say the power. The same power. The same results. Listen to me, guests and people that are here. The earthquakes happened, but they stopped. They just happened on one, watch this, one little jail where some men were captured, and they began to pray, Lord, begin to sing. We need to pray and sing, don't we? And then what happened? An earthquake happened right there. The jails opened up. That's the book. I don't think you see how powerful that is. That's the book. People got healed. Dead people got up. With a shadow. A shadow. That thing right back there. Somebody got in Peter's shadow, and they're like, okay, I don't know what happened, but I was dead. And people were like, what in the world? Nobody even touched him. And somebody said, well, his shadow went over there, and they were dead, were raised. Everybody say amen? Revival was everywhere. It was the glory of God on this earth. That was what the church was for. This is what we are supposed to be doing. This is what we are supposed to be doing. Look at your neighbor and say, this is what we're supposed to be doing. I know some of you are just, but you know, just bear with me. You gotta hear it. One time I was walking in a store, I was walking in the mall, and I'm not a good shopper. Okay, I'm one of the guys that goes straight in to get the blue jeans and come out. I don't shop on the women's side. Okay, I don't. Why? Let me say it again. I just don't go over. What am I supposed to go over for? Well, I'm just been raised different. I'm not. My wrists are strong at 72. I don't have any of this on me at all. Period. Nowhere. Ain't going to. It's like anorexic. I ain't gonna do that. I'll eat five times a day. Just to show that spirit. You ain't gonna get on. I'll stop and get a Whataburger. If I even think it's getting on me, it's Whataburger right in there. Just get one. And so I've never been a good shopper for my wife. It's more like at Christmas time I tried it and it didn't work out too well. So I just learned to give her money. I mean, I'll give her $23 and tell her wherever you want to go. But I was walking in the mall one day, and I'm really going to try. I'm really going to put forth some effort, because she always says, well, it's not quite the same. If you buy it for me, then it's more, I know you put some effort into it. At least she knows it's an effort. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to try it. And I'm walking in the mall, and I hate going to the mall. You know, you got people all up in there with different color hair and spikes in their head, and you just don't, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, how do you get your hair that high? I don't know. And so I'm just walking around, and I'm like, did I used to look like that? My hair was long, but I never put it straight up. I had it in an afro. And people did ask me, you're a white guy, how did you get an afro? And I said, well, you can buy them. You just put these little rollers in your hair. So I'm trying. And I walk, and I don't know where I'm going. And finally, I go by this store, and I'm looking on both sides, you know. And suddenly I see a display in the window, and I thought, Now, see, my wife is totally different. I'm kind of flamboyant. I like bright colors. I like red ties. I like foo-foo. I like frills. But my wife is blue, black, gray. I mean, I would love to see my wife in a Michael Jackson coat with little things on it, you know. At least everybody knows she's the general. I saw this and I thought, oh my Lord, my wife. Now I got a pretty wife. I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm happily married. See, some people are just married. I'm happily married. I mean, ain't nobody ever. I mean, I look at all women, but that it's like, nah, you didn't quite do it. If so, I'd have married you, because I'm good. I know how good I am. Some of y'all ain't. You just don't have value of yourself. I'm real valuable. I mean, she lucked out. Of course, is this on the internet? It is? Oh, I meant that baby. You have to rephrase something. I mean, she lucked out because I lucked out. I mean, it's like somehow, anyway. I'm walking by this store and I see this thing and I'm thinking, ooh, my. She'd look fine in that. And I stopped, and I was like, yeah, I can see her in that. Had little designs on it, had little designs down here, and it was pretty to me. I thought, man, And I didn't even care how much it cost. It was just like, she's going to open up that, and I am going to be the hero. It's going to be, I don't have to do the yard for a month. I mean, it's going to be so nice. And so I walked in. And if you're going to find out the price, you've got to go in. And so I got in the store, and I looked around by myself, but I didn't see what was in the window. I didn't see that. I was walking around searching for it, but I couldn't find it. Finally, a salesperson come over and asked, do you need help? Now, it's up to me to say I need help or I'm fine wandering. It's up to me to say, oh, no, I'm just, or I'm, it's up to me. Look at your neighbor and say, it's up to you. And so I turned around. I said, well, actually, I do. I cannot find that thing that's in the window right there. And she said, well, what are you talking about? So we went to the window, and I said, this right here, I said, do you have it in a size? And I ain't going to say the size because she's not in that size anymore. But I mean, she's not oversized. She's probably watching because her mother had to come over to my house last night, spend the night, and she didn't get to go to church. So, baby, I'm preaching as good as I can. And so I walked in there, and she said, well, which one of these? And I said, it's this one right here. She said, are you buying this for somebody special? I said, I am. And she said, who? I said, it's my beautiful wife. I said, she got long black hair. I can just see it now. And I said, she is going to be so, I mean, she's already gorgeous. But she's going to be the fox, and I'm going to be the hound. She kind of laughed. She said, okay. So she went around the store and started looking. And she said, well, it was right here. I'm sure it was right here. I think I saw it right here. But maybe it's over there. So I followed over there. And we looked. And then finally she said, oh, well, maybe they put it up since it's on in the display. Maybe they put it. No, it's not up here. And we walked all the way around the store again. And finally she said, wait a minute. Probably it's in the back. It's in the back. We've just... And so let me go in the back. I said, yeah, go. We went from rack to rack, but maybe, you know, it's back there. I said, yeah, go back there because I need that. I want that. I came in for that. And now, you know, she said, when she got back out, she said, sir, I'm sorry, we don't have it in stock. It's not in stock. We don't have what is on display that draws you in stock. So she started getting me interested in other stuff. She said, now, what about this one? And I said, well, that's pretty. But that isn't what drew me in here. She said, well, we have this one now. It's new. It's brand new. And what about this? And I guess, well, I think those are good colors. But that didn't, I came in because of that right there. And so she kept trying to divert my attention away from what was being displayed in the window. And so finally, I kind of got lost in forgot what I came in for, and now I start smiling and going, well, maybe that will work. Well, maybe this will work. And then finally she kind of walked by the window, and I looked at it again, and I had something in my hand, and I put it up beside there, and I went, oh, wait a minute. This don't come close to what got me in here. Whew, Lord. What you're trying to sell me on is a little drab, and I'm looking at the display, and I'm looking at what I got in my hand, and it ain't matching. I realized we'd gotten way off track because the salesperson didn't want me to remind them of what I got in the store for. All the other stuff I didn't need. All the other stuff didn't draw me in. It was one thing that drew me in. And now they're trying to just get me off track. And so I said, when will you get that in? And she said, well, I have some bad news. We quit carrying that. See, she had tried to get my mind off of what I needed by showing me other stuff. In other words, there's no reason for me to keep coming back to the shop if you don't have what I need. Oh, Saints of Springfield, listen to what I just said. There's no reason for me to keep coming back to a shop that doesn't have what I want and what I need. So my question was finally, why is it still in the wind if you don't have it? And she kind of ducked her head and said, well, it did draw you in here. And we thought maybe you could buy something else. And I said, why would I want something that didn't draw me in? Are you hearing me? See, the first church, the old church, the church we kind of refer to, used to preach a message that was directly tied to the message of the first church, fasting and prayer and commitment and holy living and healing and deliverance and what they preached they could produce. But slowly the church growth programs caused us to get away from the real thing, and we started saying, I don't want to offend anybody. I want everybody to feel comfortable. Well, we still preach signs, wonders, miracles, healing, and deliverance, but when somebody comes in with that need, just smile. Give them some coffee. Sing some songs. Am I getting you? Are you hearing me? And when they come in and get here, then we're going to tell them, I've got great programs for you to view. I've got an exercise class that meets once a week. We don't have no healing, but we've got exercise programs. We've got a great counseling program, but no deliverance. We have a great men's fellowship, and we'll go fishing and hunting, but we're all out of miracles. We have a great ladies program that meets once a month, but we're out of the miraculous. In other words, we don't carry that in stock any longer. We've changed to a different product. The mentality of our pulpits and in our leaders have turned what some would think was foolish apostolic stuff, and they've said, we don't need it. I'm here to tell you today, we still need it. We still need it. Not only do we need it, but the people coming in need it. Look at your neighbor and say, yes. When Peter and John saw the lame man at the gate, they didn't tell him all the benefits of the first church. They didn't explain programs. Peter just said these words, such as I have. You don't want to take ownership of it. You want to act like the Holy Ghost is a temporary thing. Let me tell all y'all something. I got the same Holy Ghost they had. Such as I have. I wish some of you would get a hold of this. Such as we have.
I'm not giving anything away. I'm not letting it go. We still need the miraculous in our services. Stand to your feet and give the Lord some praise. Look at your neighbor and say, I have that. Shake them and say, I have that. Ooh, that was way too quiet. There you go. Does anybody have it over here? Let your voices out. I have it. I have it. He gave it to me, and I have it. Lulu might have it, but I've got it. I've got it. Look at your neighbor and say amen. You can be seated. I've got it. Such as I have. This world is needing a church that returns to the first church. See, drug addicts need deliverance. Amen? I was one. When I got the Holy Ghost, I never did another line of crystal, coke, THC, hash, marijuana, LSD, nothing. Now that's called first step program. Huh? It wasn't a 12-week program. It was, do you get the Holy Ghost and get delivered? Yes. Look at your neighbor and say yes. Honey, if you need to be off of drugs and you want to be off drugs, this is the day that you can get delivered. This is the day that you can get delivered. If you need to get off of alcohol, this is the day you can be delivered. Because what we have is not only on display, but it is stock. It is in stock. It is in stock. Somebody holler, it's in stock. Shake your neighbor and say, it's in stock. You can be seated for a minute. I'm closing quickly, I think. People that need healing, God still heals. Still heals. He didn't quit. He ain't on vacation. He's a healer. Somebody say he's a healer. I was in a service and I was standing beside this one woman and her arm was paralyzed over here. It was all drawn up like this. And I'm praising God. I'm not preaching that night. And she was on the front row and come up there to praise the Lord. And I'm like, okay, go, girl. And her arm was like this. And the Lord said, pull her arm out. I did just what y'all do. What? I did that. I thought, I looked over to her left arm. I thought, well, does the Lord want me to switch sides because the poor girl's crippled on this side? And I looked at her and he said, that one. I was like, huh? Now, I mean, y'all expect Brother Paul just to, okay, boom, bam. You know, no, I'm like, what? You know, I'm not preaching. And I looked at her and she's just praising the Lord. And finally I looked over and said, ma'am, this may sound strange, but the Lord told me to pull your crippled arm out. And she said, okay. I figured she'd say, well, I'm crippled. I got paralyzed when I was dying. She just said, okay. And when I reached over, brother, it was stiff. It was hard. It was stiff. And I thought, surely the Lord's just going, whatever. And it was like,
Well, and the Lord said, pull. And so I said, okay. Then I got around in front of her and I said, all right, lady, I'm just going to do what the Lord told me to do. And so I just put this 233 pounds on it and I started leaning backwards. And as I did, that arm started unfolding and all of a sudden it went snap. And she raised it up and said, I've been waiting on my miracle. He's still a healer. Are you hearing me? He's still a healer. He still does the miraculous. And in this place today, he can still do the miraculous. Can praise him right now. Amen. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Look at somebody and say amen. You can be seated for just a minute. Sorry to wake some of you up, but he does that. He wants to do that. Brother Billy Hale is a mentor of mine, pastor, elder. He called me 2 weeks ago. He said, now this man is a great man. Been very faithful to me for all 30 years. And I said, Bishop, the Lord told me to call you. What's going on? He said, brother, I just got out of the doctor's office. I'm going to have a kidney transplant. And I went, what? I was driving up here. And I said, what? He said, I'm going to have a kidney transplant. My kidney quit working. And they want to put me on dialysis until I can get another kidney. And here's what I said. I'm just crazy. I went, no. No. Uh-uh. We ain't doing that. He said, what'd you say? I said, no. Uh-uh. No, we ain't going to do that. That takes you away from everybody. We ain't going to do all that. He started laughing. He said, brother, I agree with you. I said, I rebuke that thing. Command life back into that kidney. We prayed all the way through the mountains. I said, we ain't going to do that. This is too critical. He said, well, I'm supposed to go back. So this week, coming through the mountains, I called him. And I said, Bishop, what's going on? He laughed. Well, brother, I just got a report. He said, my kidney went from 0 to 45% in 1 week. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? We had a man that was fixing to have a kidney. He's a preacher of the gospel. And God said, I'm going to give him a miracle. I'm going to get that kidney active. Are you telling me? I'm believing that kidney's going to go back to 100%. Somebody ought to be giving God praise for Billy Hale's miracle. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Somebody holler, it's in stock. Shake your neighbor and say, it's in stock. You can be seated. Now look at your neighbor and say, it's in stock here. In other words, you don't need to go someplace else and look around and search and wander, come back in a circle because they ain't got it. They ain't got it. Now let me show you something, visitors. Most of them don't even put it on display anymore. They don't preach about it anymore. They're trying to get you hooked on, hey, come up here Saturday and we'll play volleyball. Y'all like volleyball? Yeah. Well, come on. If you don't, we got a gym. We can play basketball. If you don't, we can just all hang out and talk. My God, I ain't never understood that one to begin with. I'm trying to get away from people that talk. I talk too much. Sit down with me and see what happens. Man, I'll go from the Bible to tariffs in a heartbeat. I told Pastor, I'm going to try to stay focused today. I'm not going to drink no energy drinks today before I get over here. I'm just going to do it on my own. I love them five-hour energy drinks. Love them. You know what I mean? Them little bitty things. My wife thinks they're from hell, but I thought it, I think it's beef 12. That's a vitamin, isn't it? I used to cut Coke with it. So then he's looking at me like, what? I want you to join the church because of all the program. No, I'm a drug addict. I really don't care about your programs. I care, can you get me off this needle? I care if you can get me off this dope. I care if you can get me out of my marriage problems. I care if you can get me out of my depression. I care if you can get me out of my misery. I care if you can get me off my suicidal tendencies. I care if you can get me into a whole life. What I need is for Jesus to step in. Can you get Jesus in the building? Somebody holler yes. You can be seated for a minute. I know this is crazy to close like this, but hey, this is revival. Who needs something powerful today? I want you to stand. Now look at your neighbor and say, I believe it's in stock. Now, Pastor, you can look around. And either we have it or we're liars. Are you hearing me? Come on, Jesus. What are you feeling, girl? Raise your hand. Watch this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost is sitting on her. Let that go right there. I'm with you. Let that go. There you go. Anybody believe right now? I didn't touch her, did I? Just opened her hand. You know why, young lady? It's in stock. It's right here. It's right here. She didn't have to come to the altar and kneel down for 30 minutes. It's in stock. It's in stock. Raise your hand right now. Start praying right now. Raise your hands all across the building and start praying right now. It's in stock. If you're a guest, it's in stock. In the name of Jesus right now. Saints of the living God, I want you to pray. Ah, it's in stock, elder. It's in stock. It's in stock. You know it. God is in this house. Jesus is in this house. When you stood up, you said, Jesus, I need what he's preaching about. When you stood up, you said, Lord, I need what he's preaching about. If you want to come to the front, then go to the front. But don't let the Holy Ghost quit. Let your spirit flow. It's in stock, brother. It's in stock. Anybody wants to go down there, just walk down there slow and keep the spirit on you. And today, it's in stock. It's in stock. It's right here. Everything I need is right here. Everything I need is right here. I need my life changed. I need my life changed. I need my life changed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Come on, these girls ain't afraid to come down here and say, I need it. I need it. I need what's on display. I don't need a substitute. I need what's on the rack. I need what's on display. In the name of Jesus, Daniel, pray for this man right here. Ah, I need it, Lord.
I need it. Come on, pray for one another. This is on, no, it's not just on display. It's in here. It's in here. The Jesus that we serve is walking these aisles and saying, I'm the one that heals you. I'm the one that delivers you. I'm the one that responds to your needs. I'm the one that you have served, or I'm the one that you need to serve. I'm the one that you need in your life. You don't need religion. You don't need a church that's dead. You need me in your life.